This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Chad Hartman gone today. My name is Chris Seggert. I'm with 5 Eyewitness News. If you happen to watch Channel 5 this morning, all the way through from 4:30 until 9 o'clock, I was one of the only people who was on TV today. Definitely in holiday mode, but glad to sit in for Chad. This is fun. I'm glad he's got the day off. Got a producer, Josh Wheeler, here with us as well. Dave Harrigan's off as well, too.
Yes.
Josh, good to have you here.
Good to see you.
And we appreciate all you who are out there listening. Jordana had a great show before this. We're gonna start out with, you know what? I have a hard time figuring out the topics I want to talk about on the radio because I know there are certain things that are really just going to make people mad.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I try to stay away from them.
It's also the day after the holidays, so like I feel like people are half checked in, half not checked
in. Yeah, no, I think that's so true. Yeah. I can definitely tell. I can definitely tell that. But I will admit, and this is obviously like normally one of the slowest news times in the world, the middle of summer, not much happening. But I will admit I have been sucked into the vortex on the Joe Biden post-debate fallout and sort of the reaction and seeing the different sides react how they are. And I'm fascinated with it. I can't stop watching it. I'm flipping between the cable channels when I'm not at work pretty much every hour of the day because I want to see what's coming out with it. I want to see what's new. And I honestly kind of feel like we've hit a little wall today. I don't really feel like there's a lot new coming out other than the president's going to be doing an interview. And that'll be airing tonight with George Stephanopoulos. That's going to air on Channel 5, actually, at 7 o'clock.
And as we learned in the open, Donald Trump still does have two club championships under his belt. So that has not changed.
Boy, I went down the rabbit hole on that the video of him on the golf course.
Yeah.
With I won't say the name of one of my family members, and the family member is a Trump supporter, and she was not happy that video got released because they just didn't really feel if people were that close to Trump that they should really be recording him like that, and obviously somebody had it out for him because they sent the video out.
Yeah,
all I've been thinking the last couple of days is how well Trump's been playing this whole thing by not saying anything, kind of like he did during the debate. He just sat back and let Joe go, and we all kind of know how that went. In fact, for those of you who perhaps missed it or need a little refresher, let's play a little clip there from the debate last week.
Make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President.
I mean, it was disastrous. I don't think there's...
That was tough to listen to again.
It was tough to watch, honestly, but yet I could not stop, and I'm fascinated with it, but I'm also getting bored with what the talking points are on this right now. And I'm going to pull a talking point from my beautifully intelligent 16-year-old daughter who I was watching some of this with. And she's a high school kid, right? She's got not much interest in what's going on other than this. And this is her observation. She looks up. I'm watching back and forth between all the channels. And she looks up and I'm like, oh, well, here we go. And she's like, what? And she looks at me and she goes, why? I don't understand. Like, I don't understand. Why are there only two choices?
It's a million-dollar question.
Why are there only two choices? That was a question from my 16-year-old daughter. And I started kind of going down the normal, well, it's because blah, 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 you know. And then I'm like, well, I don't know. Is that actually even true? Why are there only really two choices? Or are there more choices than that? So we've got an expert on the line. You may have read him in USA Today. You may have seen him all kinds of other places. He's with Suffolk University. His name is David Paleologos. David, thanks for joining me. I said your name wrong, incorrectly. Tell me how do you say it correctly. I'm sorry.
No, you're pretty close.
I botched it. It's Paleologos, right?
There you go.
There we go. I left out a syllable. So thanks for joining us. And this was short notice, David, so I appreciate it. And I know you're in demand right now. You just had a piece that was in the USA Today talking about third-party candidates or the third-party impact. Why don't you address that first? Because I said the whole notion that came from my daughter is, why are there only two choices? Are there two choices? Are there other choices?
So there are other choices, and your daughter is spot on, by the way, because if you go to Amazon, if she's shopping for a bag or a blouse or whatever, there are hundreds of choices to pick from. If you go into the supermarket, there are many boxes of cereal you can choose. But in the U.S., you really have every other party, and there are multiple parties that are boxed out of the process, not included in debates. And so we have this lesser of two evils kind of mentality. But the fact of the matter is that there are no states where there are only two choices. You know, if you look at Colorado in 2020, there were 21 candidates for president on the Colorado ballot. You know, Michigan, there were six. I think Minnesota, I think you had nine. You've got all kinds of different ballots and multiple candidates. And where it gets tricky is you got 40% locked in on the Democratic side, 40 on the Republican side. And the people in the middle, the people who are sick of Democrat, Republican, who are voting third party, directly impact the outcome in these elections. They did in 2016 and they did in 2020.
Do you think that this third party impact, based on everything that's happened with President Biden over the course of the last week, does that change? Does that shift?
It's hard to say. What we learned from the poll, and our poll came out right after the debate, we went in the field making calls, is that the people who are saying they'll vote for third party right now, their second choice is now Trump instead of Biden. And that's something I don't think the Biden team counted on, because these same voters, when we asked them who they voted for in 2020, they said Biden by 2.5 to 1. Now they are leaning towards Trump. So in essence, what the debate did was it didn't really kill Biden in a major way. I mean, he lost a few points to Trump, which is expected after the debate. But I think where it really hurt him was now you've got these third party voters who were Biden voters in 2020 who now are saying he's not my first choice or my second choice. And that's important, because I think Biden's campaign was counting on the Green Party coming back to Biden, Cornel West voters coming back to Biden, some RFK voters coming back to Biden. And we're seeing that the debate has really cooled them, at least at the current point in time, away from voting for Biden.
So your expertise is you're obviously a political expert. Your expertise is in the polling and the numbers. We've got the Stephanopoulos interview that is going to air later tonight at 7 o'clock. I have not seen any clips or any of that floating around. Have you? I just want to double check.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's not out there yet. I don't even know when they were actually going to record it. I know it's pre-recorded. It's not a live interview. So I will presume that President Biden will come across looking better after this interview.
Yeah, I mean, following the debate, I think anything's an improvement, right? So, there are a lot of experts on both sides of whether he should get up or not. Some people are doubling down and saying that, he's setting himself up for a comeback moment in either a September debate or in the fall, where people have counted him out. And then he kind of rises from the ashes like the Phoenix and takes Trump in the end. But a lot of the internals, like I say, are not looking terribly terribly optimistic right now. But, you know, a person that's been off in office as long as Joe Biden, despite his age, has amazing survival skills, you know, to have been in office all that time. I mean, and you see incumbents getting knocked off here and there, and certainly after 20 years, they get knocked off of a higher probability. He's been in politics over 50 years, and he somehow survived. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds over the next couple of weeks, whether or not, you know, there's more of a clamoring to replace him or not.
So we're listening to a discussion here with David Paleologos. He is with Suffolk University, and talking more about presidential politics here, which is a big, big topic. Hearing from some of you right now, stylesfinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. It's not okay. Neither of these candidates belong in the White House. Stop. Stop giving Trump a pass. That's somebody else saying. A lot of people are bringing up the fact that Trump spent a lot of that debate saying things that are not true. And I get that, and I understand that. And then I've heard the argument that, well, the president was right there. If the president could have fact-checked him on anything. Given the way Biden performed, I have a hard time thinking he was really going to be real-time fact-checking as that was going along. I don't know. It's interesting to think about what could happen, but I don't know, David. To me, the logistics of bringing in another candidate right now seems so complex. It almost seems like it's impossible to even make it happen.
Yeah, logistically, it's going to be really challenging, and then you're going to have factions that are going to potentially split. But I would say to your texter, and because I agree with you that it was up for President Biden to have refuted him. But if your texter had 6 or 7 days with 16 experts coaching that texter for a week, he would have been prepared. If Trump says this, you say that. If Trump says this, you say that. And he did, and it didn't happen. He had a week. He had a week of preparation. He had the best of the best in that room briefing him. And so, you know, if he hadn't prepared, that's a different argument. Then you come back and say, well, he was overseas. He came back. He was doing presidential duties. He didn't have enough time to prepare, but he'll get it right the next time. But I mean, in the lead up, we were all told he's well prepared. He's been briefed. He's got great people in the room with him and so on. And then it just seemed like either he wasn't properly briefed, or he was briefed and he just whiffed. You know, he didn't seize the opportunity.
David, can you stick around with us for a couple minutes more?
Of course.
Okay, let's take a break. Let's talk more about this. Let's hear from more of you. Stylesfinancial.com, talk and text line. What do you have to say about this? According to the number of texts that are coming in, you've got lots to say about it. 651-461-9226. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. Little Huey Lewis in the news. It's Huey's birthday today, right?
74.
74. Happy yes, birthday sir. To Huey Lewis. Man, I don't know. Whenever I hear Huey Lewis, just makes me think of better times. I don't know. I just do. It's just
you can't not be in a good mood.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's just
it's the 80s.
Even when you have the struggle with the debate and everything going on right now,
that's what
Huey
I mean.
Huey Lewis makes everything go.
And I know politics have always been divisive, and they were divisive in the 80s, just like they are now. And there was discussion about the age of a president at the time in the 80s, too, if we yes. all remember the name Ronald Reagan, which I think we do. Mm-hmm. Well, most of us do. So this debate's out there. It's been going on forever. Many of you are quite passionate about your thoughts here about the performance, Joe Biden's performance debate, what happens next. He's got an interview tonight on ABC News. My name is Chris Eggert. I'm with Channel 5. That's my normal job. I'm filling in for Chad today. Happy to be here. And I know Chad does not like to shy away from controversy. So I thought we'd just start the show right off with some presidential politics. We've got David Paleologos. He's with us with Suffolk University. He's a pollster. David, again, I appreciate your time, and thanks for sticking around through the commercial break.
Of course. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit more about, have you done any polling? Have you seen any polling on specific other names being thrown around? I know Kamala Harris would be the the one that's already set up, she's already financially set up, she could already take over, still have access to all the money that's been raised. Have you seen any polling on other people?
Yeah, so Michelle Obama is the candidate, if she was a candidate, who would do extremely well in a general election. She solidifies African-American support. Right now, that's a little bit shaky. In some of the states, we poll Black Americans in Michigan and in Pennsylvania. Kamala Harris does have a little bit of a backlash, a little bit of a negative in the Black community, not a lot. She's overwhelmingly liked, but Michelle Obama clearly did. She outpolled Gretchen Whitmer among Black voters in Michigan. And she outpolled everybody in Pennsylvania among Black voters as well. And in the general election, general electorate, you've got, you know, other candidates, but they don't have the name rec that Kamala Harris does or that Michelle Obama has. So I think, you know, it's going to be hard to skip over Kamala Harris if a substitution were to take place. But I agree with you all. I mean, I think a substitution is really complicated and may do more damage than good.
I mean, you have heard, I've been reading for years about the idea that Michelle Obama, you know, could be the person to come in. But then again, I don't really think I've ever read Michelle Obama say anything about having any interest in becoming the president. And so that it's interesting that her name keeps coming up.
Yeah, she absolutely could turn this whole election around. And if more polling comes out showing that, some high-level people, you know, may sit her down and say, look, people aspire to be president over decades, over multiple years. All we need you to do is double down for 4 months. Be that person for 4 months. Now, granted, you're going to be president for 4 years. You're going to have an important role. But, you know, the Democrats will say, for the sake of the country, you're the person who we know statistically will put this election away right here and now if you agree to be. But then, you know, you're jumping over Kamala Harris and who becomes the VP.
I think that's such a tough and such a and a bad look too, right? Because Kamala Harris was picked for who she is and
that's
what
right.
she brings to the table, and then if you sort of step over her and bring in somebody else, I don't know, that's gonna alienate a lot of your supporters too.
Sure, it's a long shot for sure, but the difference between those two is, well, besides the fact that one wants to be or would love to be president, one doesn't want to be president. But the difference between those two is that independence. Kamala Harris's numbers drop off dramatically once you get outside of core Democratic voters, and you know, all Democrats do awful among Republican voters, but it's the all important independent voters. And Harris doesn't have the kind of numbers, even compared to Joe Biden, among independents. Biden does better among independents than Kamala Harris. And let's face it, the game is won or lost now among the independents going forward.
Getting all kinds of comments coming in. StylesFinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. David, before I go, I want to talk to you as a political expert. Again, David Paleologos, who is with Suffolk University, political expert, been around the block, you know these things. How about the debate rules? Because some of the people who are commenting are saying CNN was putting on the debate. It was up to the moderators to call Trump out immediately or warn him they'd stop the debate. That they wanted the moderators to be doing the job and doing the fact checking because the mics were closed. I don't even know that if President Biden had been capable at the moment of refuting the things that Trump were saying that weren't true with the mics closed. I don't know that he would have even had a chance. And Trump does Trump where he just talks and talks and talks. I don't know that the moderators, anybody could keep track of that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a fair point, though. But the debate would just become a fact-checking exercise.
Right, right.
It wouldn't be a debate anymore, and on both sides, but more against Trump because he lied more. That the purpose of a debate is to show a lot of leadership skills beyond just standing at a podium. You know, it's It's how you think. It's how you navigate problems. It's how you're able to deal with adversaries like leaders of other countries and how to negotiate, how to be civil, and all of those skills. That's why debates are so influential in helping us shape opinions, especially undecided voters, about candidates. And so, you know, I guess my pushback would be it's really if you can't rely on the debate, on any debate moderators, regardless of the network and regardless of the personalities. And I thought the moderators did a fairly good job given the two characters that they had to moderate.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. And to your point, they don't want to hear the moderators interrupting them all night. And then you're just hearing them talk. Like the point of this is supposed to be hearing the candidates talk. So, well, David, thanks for your time today. I'm sure I know what you'll be doing at 7 o'clock tonight. And, your email will be blown up after that for the next 5 hours. So,
well, congratulations to all the listeners and the Minnesota voters, because Minnesota has been one of the most engaged states in terms of voting of the 50 states. Of course, Massachusetts is also up there, but Minnesota is always at the top in terms of voter engagement. So congratulations to your listeners, and keep up the good work. I wish every state were like Minnesota.
Yeah, we definitely turn out when it comes election day. So, David, thanks so much. Have a good rest of your weekend.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. I mean, let's be honest. I'm all with just having Huey Lewis. I think people like to just hear Huey Lewis songs the rest of the afternoon.
That's fine. Nice. I'll pass it along to our next producer.
Tell him. This is great. So Huey Lewis turned 74 today. So 74. Happy birthday to Huey. We're gonna step away from politics. That was enough. That was enough. I got a lot of your comments, and I do appreciate it. StylesFinancial.com, talking text line, 651-461-9226. All right, yesterday's weather wasn't exactly the most ideal for getting outside and grilling. In fact, I did something embarrassing. I got out our little crummy little George Foreman grill thing, which isn't about big enough to make a sandwich. My wife and I, the kids were gone. They're out doing their thing, and I was like, I don't feel like going outside. So I put like 5 hot dogs on there, and it was so lame, and it was so gross, and it was so depressing. But we had a story this morning. So my name's Chris Eggert. I'm with Channel 5 in for Chad today. I already did the news from 4:30 to 9 o'clock this morning, so I've had plenty of chance to go over the day's top stories and just keep talking on and on and on and on and on. But one of the stories that we had this morning was about meat cutting. Not a great day for grilling yesterday. However, 4th of July, usually a big day. And we had the story on Channel 5 that was all queued up and ready to go about St. Paul College has now started, for the first time in decades, a meat cutter apprenticeship program in the state of Minnesota. So they are training people to become skilled meat cutters. You think that this is it seems like kind of an old-timey, seems like kind of an old-timey line of work, but I mean, who's got a? People are still eating meat.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's the season.
It's harder to afford it than you ever could. But you go to the grocery store. There's people back there who are cutting that meat, and it's not an easy job. Any guesses how much that job would pay? This 20? I was very surprised at.
I said 20.
30 an hour.
Oof.
So that's pushing around $70,000 or $80,000 a year. Cutting meat?
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Beats radio.
Listen. And you get all the steak you can eat,
yes,
right?
Like,
I'm sure it doesn't.
Take a few samples home with you.
I'm sure it doesn't work that way, but
there's some perks.
It was funny because we ran that story this morning, and it was like $70,000 or $80,000 a year cutting meat. And it's like, holy cow. But I think it's great because and this goes back into this whole bit that we've been hearing a lot about the last several years is a college education and what you're paying for a traditional college education and what kids are paying and the debt they're going into. Is it worth it in the long run to leave college with a bunch of debt and a job that's maybe intangible and there's no sure things? And then you get into something like this, which is a meat cutting program, which, I mean, this job's going to be here. This job's not going away, right?
Yeah. And there's always room for more meat, especially here in Minnesota.
Presumably, also, I'm having my Joe Biden moment now. Hold on,
brain freeze.
I've been up since too. Presumably, this is a job that's just going to be around, you know, forever and ever. Yeah. And it got me thinking about, because we also had a story on the news this morning about a cobbler, a guy who makes shoes and repairs shoes and homemade old timey shoes. And I was like, what a, that job is that even so? There are people around the Twin Cities who have made a very great career out of that job. Again, like sort of an old timey trade, something that you wouldn't necessarily think of as, hey, my kid just graduated from high school. What are you going to do? I'm going to go up. I'm going to become a businessman. I'm going to run for politics. I'm going to be president. No, I'm going to be a cobbler. And so
it's a good trade.
This happened, and maybe you folks out there have heard this, but so this guy has become the cobbler has become TikTok famous because his daughter started recording videos of him just like making shoes. And if you know anything about social media, and a smart social media guy just brought this up to me the other day, but he goes, the niches get the riches. And if you look at social media, the most niche things are the things that like seem to be wildly popular, because who knew anything about a shoe cobbler prior to there being this sort of, you know, video that's out there on TikTok and people being able to see that. And I'm like, wow, that is fascinating. And the guy said he didn't even really want to become a cobbler. His dad was a cobbler and he was in college and his dad got sick and he basically had to come home and take over the shoe cobbling business, which is so funny. This is a nice comment on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line, 651-461-9226. Wonder how much cutting the cheese pays now.
It's true.
You're funny.
It's true.
You're funny. Any of you out there have
a thankless job?
You out there have a did you go into a trade? Did you go into something maybe that's not as mainstream? Like perhaps you are a meat cutter, or you became a meat cutter, or a cobbler, or did you? Was there ever any thought like, man, I wish I could do it all over again, and instead of going to television broadcast school, I wish I would have decided to become a cobbler instead, or whatever it might be. Maybe you wished you could have been a old time car repairman, or maybe one of those barbershop quartets. Maybe you think maybe you should have been in a barbershop quartet. If you could go back and you could change that now, what would it be? 651-461-9226. I don't suppose most of you are going to have anything.
Or the guy that hands out paper towels at the fancy restaurants.
Right?
Sits in the bathroom and gives you a paper towel. They probably still have. I think that's still a job. I can almost guarantee it.
Oh, for sure. If you go to a fancy enough restaurant, it's definitely.
Go to Demi. You'll see one. I'm sure.
It's definitely a thing. I love hearing from you guys again today. StylesFinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. Let's talk about this. Where is your favorite day trip? Outside of the Twin Cities, where is your favorite day trip that you can get to in an hour? Article in the Star Tribune today has a suggestion. Will you agree? We'll find out next. News Talk 830 WCCO. Time is 12:50. Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to get a 50-year roof and 75% off installation labor and GAF asphalt shingles. Lindis Construction. Huey Lewis, I want a new drug. It reminds me, I was just driving down, when I was driving down to the radio station today, I noticed some new place over here on the corner. Right up the street. It's painted green. It's got marijuana leaves all over it, and it's where you drink the infused drinks.
It
must be a bar just for that, a THC bar,
yeah,
just for that. So there those things are gonna be popping up all over the place, folks. I my name is Chris Eggert, Channel 5 in for Chad today. I worked in Seattle for a while, and I was out there when legalization happened, and let me tell you, the landscape changed a lot, and some of you definitely are not gonna like it. I'll tell you that right now. And there's gonna be a lot of very bright buildings, and they're going to be loud, and there's going to be a lot of people outside of them, and it's definitely going to be annoying to some of you. But you know, it's a thing that's coming, so that's just a warning. I was reading the Star Tribune a little bit ago, and caught this nice little article by a freelancer by the name of Barrett Torkelson, and Barrett asks, "What's your favorite road trip? Where do you like to go from the Twin Cities for just a couple hours, not too far away?" And the article was about Taylor's Falls, and I couldn't disagree with that. Taylor's Falls is a really, really, really nice road trip from the Twin Cities, and it's not that busy, and that's a part of what the article is. It's very quaint. You get these great geology, and you get to walk right up on the cliffs and look down on the water. And we used to do that with the kids quite a lot, or when we had people in town. It was Taylor's Falls. When's the last time you've been to Taylor's Falls, Josh?
I'm trying to think. And that's North Shore, correct?
No. It's north and east of the city, and you kind of cut across over Interstate State Park where you cross over into Wisconsin.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I've been to Taylor's Falls a handful of times. My grandpa used to take me to Siren all the time, so it's kind of like there-ish.
Yep.
I think my day trip would definitely be more North Shore.
North Shore.
Two Harbors, hit up Betty's Pies, get some pies from Betty's Pies.
Yeah, can you do that in a day? I always feel like a North Shore, you can do it in a day.
To an extent, I wouldn't say like Grand Marais. That is a waste of a trip if you're up there for a day. But
for sure.
Maybe Duluth. Like Duluth I've done for a day
before. You can hit Duluth in a day.
Yeah, because you could do people go to grandma's just for a day just to see the people, you know, do the marathon and whatnot. I'm too lazy for a marathon, but...
It's a thing that exists.
Our great Tom Hauser is always doing it. He does a marathon in his sleep, basically.
He's a marathoner. So Taylor's Falls, the great quintessential Minnesota-Wisconsin day trip, in an article that was in the Star Tribune today. Some of you weighing in on this. Where's your favorite little road trip to take? StylesFinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. Vote for Red Wing. Red Wing is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I think the last time I was filling in for DeRussia, I brought this up because it was right after the governor's fishing opener, and we were down in Lake City for a couple days because that's where the fishing opener was. And I think Adam went down and fished, too, for the opener. I'm almost positive he did, and I think he does every year.
Yeah, I think we broadcasted from there for one of the shows, yeah.
And so Lake City and going southeast of the Twin Cities, it is so beautiful, and the geology is just so interesting, and the Driftless region, it's called, and the bluffs and the hills and the river. Red Wing's awesome.
Red Wing's amazing. I haven't been to Lake City yet, but Red Wing and Rochester are two cities that just continue to pop up and just expand.
Yeah.
Especially Rochester. That's like becoming almost the twin cities of the South, essentially, with growth that city has gotten in the last few years. It's crazy. But Red Wing is phenomenal. Hit up TI, hit up all these areas down there.
Got to stop at the bakery. You got to stop at the bakery and see the bun man when you're down in Red Wing. Every time I'm in Red Wing, I'm like, I need to live here. I feel like it's a little bit too far out.
Now with all the flooding, I'm like, do I want to live near that close to water?
Lake City, basically further down the road, and same bit. And then even further down, you go to Lake Winona, which is really pretty too. Maybe not as a little smaller, a little more quaint than Red Wing is, because Red Wing's got a pretty significant, you know, downtown area down there. So
where do you rank Minnesota summers on a scale of 1 to 10?
This summer,
just in general, because I still think we have one of the best. This is one of the best states for summer. I'll never understand why people take trips to Florida and California and stuff during the summer as a family when the weather's 9 times out of 10, at least, obviously not this summer, but usually it's hard to beat.
I have a hard time leaving here during the summer too, because it's just so
good,
so flipping nice. Danbury, Wisconsin. There we go. Mm-hmm. There's a nice little suggestion. So good. Glad to hear you guys weighing in on this. The StylesFinancial.com talking text line 651-461-9226. Kayaking or canoeing on the I'm going to mess up the name of this river. Namekagon on river. Namekagon River. I know I butchered that up.
I'll take your word for it.
I absolutely know I butchered that up. Yeah. So sorry about that. New Ulm. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah. New Ulm is a very pretty cute town. I was just down there a couple weeks ago. Cable, Wisconsin. That's another good one. I like your guys' suggestions. The thing about Taylor's Falls, and there's this place called the Franconia Sculpture Garden.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever stop there, it is so weird. It is the... It is the weirdest.
Weirder than our sculpture garden here in Minnesota or Minneapolis?
Definitely weirder than our sculpture garden. But it is really cool, and it's big, and it's spread out, and you sort of get to read a little bit about what people's motivations were. And I think that's pretty interesting. So fishing on Mille Lacs, 90 minutes away. I mean, yeah, that's kind of hard to argue with, too. Stillwater. Yeah, Stillwater is – I mean, I kind of consider that part of the metro area.
It's still within reach.
Not if you're coming from the other side of town.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man.
Yeah. Maple Grove to Stillwater is a hike.
Yes, it is.
And that's where I'm at is Maple Grove.
And there's no quick way to get to Stillwater. Oh, I think you guys are being funny. Chicago, Illinois. That's your favorite day trip? Come on.
Yeah, you have to basically
come on. You're joking. All right. Well, we appreciate you being with us here. News Talk 830 WCCO. There's a kind of a crazy idea that's floating around out there about getting married at a county fair in Minnesota. It can happen now. We'll talk more about it. Still ahead.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Chad Hartman gone today. My name is Chris Seggert. I'm with 5 Eyewitness News. If you happen to watch Channel 5 this morning, all the way through from 4:30 until 9 o'clock, I was one of the only people who was on TV today. Definitely in holiday mode, but glad to sit in for Chad. This is fun. I'm glad he's got the day off. Got a producer, Josh Wheeler, here with us as well. Dave Harrigan's off as well, too.
Yes.
So, Josh, good to have you here.
Good to see you.
And we appreciate all you who are out there listening. Jordana had a great show before this. We're gonna start out with, you know what? I have a hard time figuring out the topics I want to talk about on the radio because I know there are certain things that are really just going to make people mad.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I try to stay away from them.
It's also the day after the holidays, so like I feel like people are half checked in, half not checked
in. Yeah, no, I think that's true. I can definitely tell. I can definitely tell that. But I will admit, and this is obviously like normally one of the slowest news times in the world, the middle of summer, not much happening. But I will admit I have been sucked into the vortex on the Joe Biden post-debate fallout and sort of the reaction and seeing the different sides react how they are. And I'm fascinated with it. I can't stop watching it. I'm flipping between the cable channels when I'm not at work pretty much every hour of the day because I want to see what's coming out with it. I want to see what's new. And I honestly, I kind of feel like we've hit a little wall today. I don't really feel like there's a lot new coming out other than the president's going to be doing an interview. And that'll be airing tonight with George Stephanopoulos. That's going to air on Channel 5, actually, at 7 o'clock.
And as we learned in the open, Donald Trump still does have two club championships under his belt. So that has not changed.
Boy, I went down the rabbit hole on that the video of him on the golf course.
Yeah.
With I won't say the name of one of my family members, and the family member is a Trump supporter, and she was not happy that video got released because she didn't really feel if people were that close to Trump that they should really be recording him like that, and obviously somebody had it out for him because they sent the video out.
Yeah.
All I've been thinking the last couple of days is how well Trump's been playing this whole thing by not saying anything, kind of like he did during the debate. He just sat back and let Joe go, and we all kind of know how that went. In fact, for those of you who've perhaps missed it or need a little refresher, let's play a little clip there from the debate last week.
Make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President.
I mean, it was disastrous. I don't think there's...
That was tough to listen to again.
It was tough to watch, honestly, but yet I could not stop, and I still... I'm fascinated with it, but I'm also kind of getting bored with what the talking points are on this right now, and I'm going to pull a talking point from my beautifully intelligent 16-year-old daughter, who I was watching some of this with, and she's a high school kid, right? She's got not much interest in what's going on other than this, and this is her observation. This is, she looks up. I'm watching back and forth between all the channels, and she looks up, and I'm like, oh, well, here we go. And she's like, what? And she looks at me, and she goes, why? I don't understand. Like, I don't understand. Why are there only two choices?
It's a million-dollar question.
Why are there only two choices? That was a question from my 16-year-old daughter. And I started kind of going down the normal – well, it's because blah, 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 you know, and then I'm like, well, I don't know. Is that actually even true? Why are there only really two choices, or are there more choices than that? So we've got an expert on the line. You may have read him in USA Today. You may have seen him all kinds of other places. He's with Suffolk University. His name is David Paleologos. David, thanks for joining me. I said your name wrong, incorrectly. Tell me how do you say it correctly. I'm sorry.
No, I botched
it. It's Paleologos, right?
There you go.
There we go. I left out a syllable. So thanks for joining us. And this was short notice, David, so I appreciate it. And I know you're in demand right now. You just had a piece that was in the USA Today talking about third-party candidates or the third-party impact. Why don't you address that first? Because I said the whole notion that came from my daughter is, why are there only two choices? Are there two choices? Are there other choices?
So there are other choices, and your daughter is spot on, by the way, because if you go to Amazon, if she's shopping for a bag or a blouse or whatever, there are hundreds of choices to pick from. If you go into the supermarket, there are many boxes of cereal you can choose. But in the U.S., you really have every other party, and there are multiple parties that are boxed out of the process, not included in debates. And so we have this lesser of two evils kind of mentality. But the fact of the matter is that there are no states where there are only two choices. You know, if you look at Colorado in 2020, there were 21 candidates for president on the Colorado ballot. You know, Michigan, there were six. I think Minnesota, I think you had nine. So, you've got all kinds of different ballots and multiple candidates. And where it gets tricky is you got 40% locked in on the Democratic side, 40 on the Republican side. And the people in the middle, the people who are sick of Democrat, Republican, who are voting third party, directly impact the outcome in these elections. They did in 2016 and they did in 2020.
Do you think that this third party impact, based on everything that's happened with President Biden over the course of the last week, does that change? Does that shift?
It's hard to say. What we learned from the poll, and our poll came out right after the debate, we went in the field making calls, is that the people who are saying they'll vote for third party right now, their second choice is now Trump instead of Biden. And that's something I don't think the Biden team counted on, because these same voters, when we asked them who they voted for in 2020, they said Biden by 2.5 to 1. Now they are leaning towards Trump. So in essence, what the debate did was it didn't really kill Biden in a major way. I mean, he lost a few points to Trump, which is expected after the debate. But I think where it really hurt him was now you've got these third party voters who were Biden voters in 2020 who now are saying he's not my first choice or my second choice. And that's important, because I think Biden's campaign was counting on the Green Party coming back to Biden. Cornel West voters coming back to Biden. Some RFK voters coming back to Biden. And we're seeing that the debate has really cooled them, at least at the current point in time, away from voting for Biden.
So your expertise is you're obviously a political expert. Your expertise is in the polling and the numbers. Will, we've got the Stephanopoulos interview that is going to air later tonight at 7 o'clock. I've not seen any clips or any of that floating around. Have you? I just want to double check. Yeah, I don't think so. It's not out there yet. I don't even know when they were actually going to record it. I presume I know it's pre-recorded. It's not a live interview. So I will presume that President Biden will come across looking better after this interview.
Yeah, I mean, following the debate, I think anything's an improvement, right? So, there are a lot of experts on both sides of whether he should get up or not. Some people are doubling down and saying that, he's setting himself up for a comeback moment in either a September debate or in the fall, where people have counted him out, and then he kind of rises from the ashes like the phoenix and takes Trump in the end. But a lot of the internals, like I say, are not looking terribly, terribly optimistic right now. But, you know, a person that's been in office as long as Joe Biden, despite his age, has amazing survival skills, you know, to have been in office all that time. I mean, and you see incumbents getting knocked off here and there, and certainly after 20 years, they get knocked off of a higher probability. He's been in politics over 50 years, and he somehow survived. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds over the next couple of weeks, whether or not, you know, there's more of a clamoring to replace him or not.
So we're listening to a discussion here with David Paleologos. He is with Suffolk University, talking more about presidential politics here, which is a big, big topic. Hearing from some of you right now, stylesfinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. It's not okay. Neither of these candidates belong in the White House. Stop giving Trump a pass. That's somebody else saying. A lot of people are bringing up the fact that Trump spent a lot of that debate saying things that are not true. And I get that, and I understand that. And then I've heard the argument that, well, the president was right there. If the president could have fact-checked him on anything. I given the way Biden performed, I have a hard time thinking he was really going to be real-time fact-checking as that was going along. I don't know. It's interesting to think about what could happen, but I don't know, David. To me, the logistics of bringing in another candidate right now seems so complex. It almost seems like it's impossible to even make it happen.
Yeah, logistically, it's going to be really challenging, and then you're going to have factions that are going to potentially split. But I would say to your texter, because I agree with you that it was up for President Biden to have refuted him. But if your texter had 6 or 7 days with 16 experts coaching that texter for a week, he would have been prepared. If Trump says this, you say that. If Trump says this, you say that. And he did, and it didn't happen. He had a week. He had a week of preparation. He had the best of the best in that room briefing him. And so, you know, if he hadn't prepared, that's a different argument. Then you come back and say, well, he was overseas. He came back. He was doing presidential duties. He didn't have enough time to prepare, but he'll get it right the next time. But, I mean, in the lead up, we were all told he's well prepared. He's been briefed. He's got great people in the room with him and so on. And then it just seemed like either he wasn't properly briefed, or he was briefed and he just whiffed. You know, he didn't seize the opportunity.
David, can you stick around with us for a couple minutes more?
Of course.
Okay, let's take a break. Let's talk more about this. Let's hear from more of you. Stylesfinancial.com, talk and text line. What do you have to say about this? According to the number of texts that are coming in, you've got lots to say about it. 651-461-9226. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. Little Huey Lewis in the news. It's Huey's birthday today, right?
74.
Happy birthday to Huey Lewis. Man, I don't know. Whenever I hear Huey Lewis, just makes me think of better times. I don't know. I just do. It's just
you can't not be in a good mood.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's just
it's the 80s.
Even when you have the struggle with the debate and everything going on right now,
that's what
Huey
I mean.
Lewis makes everything go.
And I know politics have always been divisive, and they were divisive in the 80s, just like they are now. And there was discussion about the age of a president at the time in the 80s, too, if we all remember the name Ronald Reagan, which I think we do. Well, most of us do. So this debate's out there. It's been going on forever. Many of you are quite passionate about your thoughts here about the performance, Joe Biden's performance, the debate, what happens next. He's got an interview tonight on ABC News. My name is Chris Eggert. I'm with Channel 5. That's my normal job. I'm filling in for Chad today. Happy to be here. And I know Chad does not like to shy away from controversy. So I thought we'd just start the show right off with some presidential politics. We've got David Paleologos. He's with us with Suffolk University. He's a pollster. David, again, I appreciate your time, and thanks for sticking around through the commercial break.
Of course. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit more about, have you done any polling? Have you seen any polling on specific other names being thrown around? I know Kamala Harris would be the one that's already set up. She's already financially set up. She could already take over, still have access to all the money that's been raised. Have you seen any polling on other people?
Yeah, so Michelle Obama is the candidate, if she was a candidate, who would do extremely well in a general election. She solidifies African-American support. Right now, that's a little bit shaky. In some of the states, we poll Black Americans in Michigan and in Pennsylvania. Kamala Harris does have a little bit of a backlash, a little bit of a negative in the Black community, not a lot. She's overwhelmingly liked, but Michelle Obama clearly she outpolled Gretchen Whitmer among Black voters in Michigan, and she outpolled everybody in Pennsylvania among Black voters as well. And in the general electorate, you've got, other candidates, but they don't have the name rec that Kamala Harris does or that Michelle Obama has. So I think, it's going to be hard to skip over Kamala Harris if a substitution were to take place. But I agree with you all. I mean, I think a substitution is really complicated and may do more damage than good.
I mean, you have heard, I've been reading for years about the idea that Michelle Obama, could be the person to come in. But then again, I don't really think I've ever read Michelle Obama say anything about having any interest in becoming the president. And so that it's interesting that her name keeps coming up.
Yeah, she absolutely could turn this whole election around. And if more polling comes out showing that, some high level people, may sit her down and say, look, people aspire to be president over decades, over multiple years. All we need you to do is double down for 4 months, be that person for 4 months. Now, granted, you're going to be president for 4 years. You're going to have an important role. But, the Democrats will say, for the sake of the country, you're the person who we know statistically will put this election away right here and now if you agree to be. But then, you're jumping over Kamala Harris and who becomes the VP.
And that is, I think that's such a tough and such a and a bad look too, right? Because Kamala Harris was picked for who she is and
that's
what
right.
She brings to the table. And then if you sort of step over her and bring in somebody else, I don't know, that's gonna alienate a lot of your supporters too.
Sure, it's a long shot for sure, but the difference between those two is, well, besides the fact that one wants to be or would love to be president, one doesn't want to be president. But the difference between those two is that independence. Kamala Harris's numbers drop off dramatically once you get outside of core Democratic voters. And all Democrats do awful among Republican voters, but it's the all-important independent voters. And Harris doesn't have the kind of numbers, even compared to Joe Biden, among independents. Biden does better among independents than Kamala Harris. And let's face it, the game is won or lost now among the independents going forward.
getting all kinds of comments coming in. StylesFinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. David, before I go, I want to talk to you as a political expert. Again, David Paleologos, who's with Suffolk University, political expert, been around the block, you know these things. How about the debate rules? Because some of the people who are commenting are saying CNN was putting on the debate. It was up to the moderators to call Trump out immediately or warn him they'd stop the debate. That they wanted them to be doing, they wanted the moderators to be doing the job and doing the fact checking. Because the mics were closed, I don't even know that if President Biden had been capable at the moment of refuting the things that Trump were saying that weren't true, with the mics closed, I don't know that he would have even had a chance. And Trump does Trump where he just talks and talks and talks. I don't know that the moderators, anybody could keep track of that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a fair point, though. But the debate would just become a fact-checking exercise.
Right, right.
It wouldn't be a debate anymore, and on both sides, but more against Trump because he lied more. That the purpose of a debate is to show a lot of leadership skills beyond just standing at a podium. You know, it's how you think, it's how you navigate problems, it's how you're able to deal with adversaries like leaders of other countries, and how to negotiate, how to be civil, and all of those skills. That's why debates are so influential in helping us shape opinions, especially undecided voters, about candidates. And so, I guess my pushback would be, it's really, if you can't rely on the debate, on any debate moderators, regardless of the network and regardless of the personalities. And I thought the moderators did a fairly good job, given the two characters that they had to moderate.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. And to your point, they don't want to hear the moderators interrupting them all night. And then you're just hearing them talk. Like, the point of this is supposed to be hearing the candidates talk. So, David, thanks for your time today. I'm sure I know what you'll be doing at 7 o'clock tonight. And, your email will be blown up after that for the next 5 hours. So.
Well, congratulations to all the listeners and the Minnesota voters, because Minnesota has been one of the most engaged states in terms of voting of the 50 states. Of course, Massachusetts is also up there, but Minnesota is always at the top in terms of voter engagement. So congratulations to your listeners, and keep up the good work. I wish every state were like Minnesota.
Yeah, we definitely turn out when it comes election day. So, David, thanks so much. Have a good rest of your weekend.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. I mean, let's be honest. I'm all with just having Huey Lewis. I think people like to just hear Huey Lewis songs the rest of the afternoon.
That's fine. Nice. I'll pass it along to our next producer.
Tell him. This is great. So Huey Lewis turned 74 today. So
74.
Happy birthday to Huey. We're gonna step away from politics. That was enough. That was enough. I got a lot of your comments, and I do appreciate it. StylesFinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. All right, yesterday's weather wasn't exactly the most ideal for getting outside and grilling. In fact, I did something embarrassing. I got out our little crummy little George Foreman grill thing, which isn't about big enough to make a sandwich. My wife and I, the kids were gone. They're out doing their thing, and I was like, I don't feel like going outside. So I put like 5 hot dogs on there, and it was so lame, and it was so gross, and it was so depressing. But we had a story this morning. So my name's Chris Sager. I'm with Channel 5, in for Chad today. I already did the news from 4:30 to 9 o'clock this morning, so I've had plenty of chance to go over the day's top stories and just keep talking on and on and on and on and on. But one of the stories that we had this morning was about meat cutting. Not a great day for grilling yesterday. However, 4th of July, usually a big day. And then we had the story on Channel 5 that was all queued up and ready to go about St. Paul College has now started, for the first time in decades, a meat cutter apprenticeship program in the state of Minnesota. So they are training people to become skilled meat cutters. You think that this is it seems like kind of an old-timey, kind of an old-timey line of work, but I mean, who's got people are still eating meat.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is the season.
It's harder to afford it than you ever could. But you go to the grocery store. There's people back there who are cutting that meat, and it's not an easy job. Any guesses how much that job would pay? This 20? I was very surprised at.
I said 20.
30 an hour.
Oof.
So that's pushing around $70,000 or $80,000 a year. Cutting meat.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Beats radio.
Listen. And you get all the steak you can eat,
yes,
right? I'm sure it doesn't.
Take a few samples home with you.
I'm sure it doesn't work that way, but
there's some perks.
It was funny because we ran that story this morning, and it was like $70,000 or $80,000 a year cutting meat. And it's like, holy cow. But I think it's great because and this goes back into this whole bit that we've been hearing a lot about the last several years is a college education and what you're paying for a traditional college education and what kids are paying and the debt they're going into. Is it worth it in the long run to leave college with a bunch of debt and a job that's maybe intangible and there's no sure things? And then you get into something like this, which is a meat cutting program, which, I mean, this job's going to be here. This job's not going away, right?
Yeah. And there's always room for more meat, especially here in Minnesota.
Presumably also I'm having my Joe Biden moment right now. Hold on.
Yeah, frame freeze.
I've been up since two. Presumably, this is a job that's just going to be around, forever and ever. Yeah. And it got me thinking about, because we also had a story on the news this morning about a cobbler, a guy who makes shoes and repairs shoes and homemade old-timey shoes. And I was like, that job, is that even so? There are people around the Twin Cities who have made a very great career out of that job. Again, like sort of an old-timey trade, something that you wouldn't necessarily think of as, hey, my kid just graduated from high school. What are you going to do? I'm going to go up. I'm going to become a businessman. I'm going to run for politics. I'm going to be president. No, I'm going to be a cobbler. And so
it's a good trade.
This happened, and maybe you folks out there have heard this, but so this guy has become the cobbler has become TikTok famous because his daughter started recording videos of him just like making shoes. And if you know anything about social media, and a smart social media guy just brought this up to me the other day, but he goes, the niches get the riches. And if you look at social media, the most niche things are the things that like seem to be wildly popular, because who knew anything about a shoe cobbler prior to there being this sort of, video that's out there on TikTok and people being able to see that. And I'm like, wow, that is fascinating. And the guy said he didn't even really want to become a cobbler. His dad was a cobbler and he was in college and his dad got sick and he basically had to come home and take over the shoe cobbling business, which is so funny. This is a nice comment on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line, 651-461-9226. Wonder how much cutting the cheese pays now.
It's true.
You're funny.
It's true.
You're funny. Any of you out there have
it's a thankless job.
Any of you out there have did you go into a trade? Did you go into something maybe that's not as mainstream? Like perhaps you are a meat cutter, or you became a meat cutter, or a cobbler, or did you? Was there ever any thought like, man, I wish I could do it all over again? And instead of going to television broadcast school, I wish I would have decided to become a cobbler instead, or whatever it might be. Maybe you wished you could have been a old-time car repairman, or maybe you, one of those barbershop quartets. Maybe you should have been in a barbershop quartet. If you could go back and you could change that now, what would it be? 651-461-9226. I don't suppose most of you are going to have anything.
Or the guy that hands out paper towels at the fancy restaurants.
Right,
sits in the bathroom and gives you a paper towel.
They
probably still have. I think that's still a job. I'm almost guaranteed.
Oh, for sure. If you go to a fancy enough restaurant, it's definitely
go to Demi. You'll see one.
It's definitely a thing. I love hearing from you guys again today. StylesFinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. Let's talk about this. Where is your favorite day trip outside of the Twin Cities? Where is your favorite day trip that you can get to in an hour? Article on the Star Tribune today has a suggestion. Will you agree? We'll find out next. News Talk 830 WCCO. Time is 12:50. Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to get a 50-year roof and 75% off installation labor and GAF asphalt shingles. Lindis Construction. Huey Lewis, I want a new drug. It reminds me, I was just driving down, when I was driving down to the radio station today, I noticed some new place over here on the corner. Right up the street. It's painted green. It's got marijuana leaves all over it, and it's where you drink the infused drinks.
Mm,
it must be a bar just for that, a THC bar,
yeah,
just for that. So those things are gonna be popping up all over the place, folks. My name's Chris Haggart, Channel 5 in for Chad today. I worked in Seattle for a while, and I was out there when legalization happened. And let me tell you, the landscape changed a lot, and some of you definitely are not gonna like it. I'll tell you that right now. And there's gonna be a lot of very bright buildings, and they're going to be loud, and there's going to be a lot of people outside of them, and it's definitely going to be annoying to some of you, but you know, it's a thing that's coming, so that's just a warning. I was reading the Star Tribune a little bit ago, and caught this nice little article by a freelancer by the name of Barrett Torkelson, and Barrett asks, what's your favorite road trip? Where do you like to go from the Twin Cities for just a couple hours, not too far away? And the article was about Taylor's Falls, and I couldn't disagree with that. Taylor's Falls is a really, really, really nice road trip from the Twin Cities, and it's not that busy, and that's a part of what the article is. It's very quaint. You get these great geology, and you get to walk right up on the cliffs and look down on the water. And we used to do that with the kids quite a lot. Or when we had people in town, it was Taylor's Falls. When's the last time you've been to Taylor's Falls, Josh?
I'm trying to think. And that's North Shore, correct?
No. It's like north and east of the city, and you kind of cut across over Interstate State Park where you cross over into Wisconsin.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I've been to Taylor's Falls a handful of times. My grandpa used to take me to Siren all the time, so it's kind of like there-ish.
Yep.
I think my day trip would definitely be more North Shore.
North Shore.
Two Harbors, hit up Betty's Pies, get some pies from Betty's Pies.
Yeah, can you do that in a day? I always feel like a North Shore, you can do it in a day.
To an extent, I wouldn't say like Grand Marais. That is a waste of a trip if you're up there for a day. But
for sure.
Maybe Duluth. Like Duluth I've done for a day.
You can hit Duluth in a day.
Yeah, because you can do people go to grandma's just for a day just to see the people, you know, do the marathon and whatnot. I'm too lazy for a marathon, but...
It's a thing that exists.
Our great Tom Hauser is doing it. He does a marathon in his sleep, basically.
He's a marathoner. So Taylor's Falls, the great quintessential Minnesota-Wisconsin day trip, in an article that was in the Star Tribune today. Some of you weighing in on this. Where's your favorite little road trip to take? StylesFinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. Vote for Red Wing. Red Wing is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I think the last time I was filling in for DeRussia, I brought this up because it was right after the governor's fishing opener, and we were down in Lake City for a couple days because that's where the fishing opener was. And I think Adam went down and fished too for the opener. I'm almost positive he did, and I think he does every year.
Yeah, I think we broadcasted from there for one of the shows. Yeah.
And so Lake City and going southeast of the Twin Cities is so beautiful, and the geology is just so interesting, and the Driftless region, it's called, and the bluffs and the hills and the river. Red Wing's awesome.
Red Wing's amazing. I haven't been to Lake City yet, but Red Wing and Rochester are two cities that just continue to pop up and just expand.
Yeah.
Especially Rochester. That's like becoming almost the twin cities of the South, essentially, with how much growth that city has gotten in the last few years. It's crazy. But Red Wing is phenomenal. Hit up CI, hit up all these areas down there.
Got to stop at the bakery. Stop at the bakery.
Yes.
And see the bun man when you're down in Red Wing. Every time I'm in Red Wing, I'm like, I need to live here. I feel like it's a little bit too far out.
Well, for me now with all the flooding, I'm like, do I want to live near that close to water?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's Lakes. That's cool. So Lake City, basically, further down the road,
yeah.
And same bit. And then even further down, you go to Lake Winona,
yeah.
Which is really pretty too. Maybe not as a little smaller, a little more quaint than Red Wing is, because Red Wing's got a pretty significant, you know, downtown area down there. So
where do you rank Minnesota summers on a scale of 1 to 10?
This summer,
well, just in general, because I still think we have one of the best. This is one of the best states for summer. I'll never understand why people take trips to Florida and California and stuff during the summer as a family when the weather's 9 times out of 10, at least, obviously not this summer, but usually it's hard to beat.
I have a hard time leaving here during the summer too, because it's just so flipping nice. Danbury, Wisconsin. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a nice little suggestion. So good. Glad to hear you guys weigh in on this. The stylesfinancial.com talking text line 651-461-9226. Kayaking or canoeing on the, oh, I'm going to mess up the name of this river. Namekagon on river. Namekagon River. I know I butchered that up.
I'll take your word for it.
I butchered that up. Yeah. So sorry about that. New Ulm. That's a good one. I like that. New Ulm is a very pretty cute town. I was just down there a couple weeks ago. Cable, Wisconsin. That's another good one. I like your guys' suggestions. The thing about Taylor's Falls, and there's this place called the Franconia Sculpture Garden.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever stop there, it is so weird. It is the weirdest.
Weirder than our sculpture garden here in Minnesota, or Minneapolis?
Definitely weirder than our sculpture garden. But it is really cool, and it's big, and it's spread out, and you sort of get to read a little bit about what people's motivations were. And I think that's pretty interesting. So fishing on Mille Lacs, 90 minutes away. I mean, yeah, that's kind of hard to argue with, too. Stillwater. Yeah, Stillwater is – I mean, I kind of consider that part of the –
yeah.
The metro area.
It's still within reach.
Not if you're coming from the other side of town.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man.
Yeah. Maple Grove to Stillwater is a hike.
Yes, it is.
And that's where I'm at, is Maple Grove.
And there's no quick way to get to Stillwater. Oh, I think you guys are being funny. Chicago, Illinois. That's your favorite day trip? Come on.
Yeah, you have to basically
come on. Come on. You're joking. All right. Well, we appreciate you being with us here. News Talk 830 WCCO. There's a kind of a crazy idea that's floating around out there about getting married at a county fair in Minnesota. It can happen now. We'll talk more about it. Still ahead.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.